The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, encouraged us to strive for uprightness by seeking assistance in the early mornings, late afternoons, ar-rawha, and something of the depths of the night. From this tradition, the scholars made it a habit to briefly read texts of religious guidance in the late afternoon, and often term such readings the daily rawha. The term refers to the late afternoon, but also to a time of rest from worldly toils and reinvigoration of one's spirit. In this daily rawha, Sheikh Faraz Rabbani will be covering two texts, Imam Zarnuji's primer on the etiquette of seeking knowledge, Ta'lim al-Muta'allim Tariq al-Ta'allum, and Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 prophetic hadith.
بالله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد ذي القدر العظيم وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين والتابعين لهم بإحسان وهدى إلى يوم الدين الحمد لله. We are continuing to look at the 40 hadith Qudsi from the work of Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani. And these hadith Qudsi, if you've got a feel for them so far, they convey, one of the reasons they call it hadith Qudsiyya. What is Quds? Taqdis is a very important meaning in the Arabic language. Like what is taqdis? Yeah, it's the affirmation of sacredness, right? Well, in taqaddasa, right? To be sacred is that sense of taba'ada, right? Wa tanazzaha, right? Is to be distant from blemish, to be transcendent, to be exalted, right? And those are the meanings of sacredness, right? Which is why Jerusalem is called Al-Quds. It is the sacred city, right? And of course, they say it symbolizes the nature of the dunya, right? That dunya is a place of tribulation, and this sacred city is the city of tribulation. So we completed hadith number 10, correct? Right? About not cursing time, but not cursing time. Why? Because Allah is the Lord of time. The 11th hadith عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الله تعالى ومن أظلم ممن ذهب يخلق خلقا كخلقي فليخلق ذرة أو ليخلق حبة أو ليخلق شعيرة رواه الإمام أحمد والشيخان. It is related by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be well pleased with both son and father, because Abdullah ibn Abbas is the son of Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah Most High says, and who is a greater wrongdoer? وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذَهَبَ يَخْلُقُ خَلْقًا كَخَلْقِ. Who is a greater wrongdoer than one who strives to create creation like my creating? Firstly, ظُلْم. What is ظُلْم? Who is a greater wrongdoer than one who would try to create creation like my creation? ظُلْم is not giving something its due, or it is to transgress the right of another, or to fall short of the rights of another. Right? So there's the haqq, and this is why justice is adl, right? Is balance. So if you exceed the bounds with respect to the rights of other, that's dhulm, or you fall short of their rights, that is dhulm. So who is a greater wrongdoer than one who strives to create anything created, يَخْلُقُ خَلْقًا كَخَلْقِي, like my creating? This is wrongdoing, above all, at the level of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because خَلْق, right? خَلْق أَلَا لِلَّهِ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Truly, Allah's is creating and Allah's is the command. الخلق creating is الإيجاد من العدم. It's to bring something into existence, is originating from nothingness. That is creating. A lot of people get confused regarding the meaning here because it's mentioned in the Quran as well. Let them create a fly, ذُبَابَة. That, well, now we have genetic engineering and we have this and that. You know, Siddhartha Mukherjee, who wrote the great book on cancer, now has something on genetics, which is an important, intelligent work. It just came out. That everyone's confused. We can manipulate the genes. Forget the DNA. We can, and they say, genes, the human genome, they say, is like the Encyclopedia Britannica if it were 60-something volumes, right? And it's made up just of four letters, right? There's repetitions of that. Of course, no one sees that, and that there are signs in that, right? But فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ, right? But they behold not. But who's a greater wrongdoer than one who would strive to create like my creating? And what is the challenge? And this is a challenge till the end of times. Like, we shouldn't feel challenged by what people are doing. Why? Because everything that people are doing is bringing together created things, bringing to the A and B to produce C, or fiddling with A so it becomes B. Right? It is not al-ijadu min al-adam. It is not originating from absolutely nothing. And that is, that is the divine creating. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. His command, if he wishes something to be, it simply is, be and it is. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creating. And that's the challenge. Right? That's the challenge. فَلْيَخْلُقُوا ذَرَّةً. So let them create a dharra, an atom. Something that small, or أَوْلِيَخْلُقُوا حَبَّةً, or let them create a grain, أَوْلِيَخْلُقُوا شَعِيرًا, or let them create a head of barley, like a grain of barley. Right? And this is a divine challenge, right? And at one level, when the Prophet ﷺ speaks, the ulama say he is speaking to the stage of all creation until the end of time. Because who is sitting in Medina trying to create a grain? Right? That's part of that he is بُعِثْتُ لِلنَّاسِ كَافَّةً. I was sent to all people completely. And that's not just the people in his time, but also till the end of time. And this stands. But we have to be careful not to be shaken by, by these athar, right? By all the traces of Allah's creation. Right? We see them for what they are. Right? The next hadith, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Abu Hurairah relates that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, that Allah Most High says. And this is a very powerful hadith Qudsi on Surah Al-Fatiha. Right? On Surah Al-Fatiha. And the significance of Surah Al-Fatiha. Right? And Surah Al-Fatiha is really a summary of the entire Qur'an. Right? The entire guidance of the Qur'an, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib says, is contained in, goes back to Surah Al-Baqarah. And there are some great scholars who show how all the Qur'an goes back to Surah Al-Baqarah. Amongst those who touched upon that was Imam Burhanuddin Al-Biqa'i, the author of the Tafsir Nazm Al-Durar, but also of the distinguished scholars of the 20th century, Sheikh Saeed Hawa, a beleaguered Syrian scholar who migrated to Jordan, in his work Al-Asasu fi Tafsir, which is a notable work, particularly if one appreciates the very distressful circumstances that his life lived out through. It shows how all the meaning of the Quran goes back to Surah Al-Baqarah, and all the meanings and guidance contained in Surah Al-Baqarah is affirmed in Surah Al-Fatiha, which is why Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib also said, I could explain Surah Al-Baqarah in camel loads of volumes. And many scholars wrote entire detailed volumes just on Surah Al-Fatiha, amongst them Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi. Right? And a lot of it is, because there's basic tafsir, right, which is A says B. But there's also the reflective tafsir that, for example, if you reflect on Surah Al, you know, there's many levels of there's levels of understanding beyond limit that are understood from Surah Al-Fatiha. Amongst them, Imam Fakhruddin Razi goes into that we understand the primacy of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu from Surah Al-Fatiha. How? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim, right? We ask to be guided to the straight path, the path of those whom you blessed before us. And who are those whom you blessed before us? It's explained elsewhere in the Quran. Alladina an'ama Allahu alayhim min as-siddiqin wash-shuhada'i was-salihin. Min as-siddiqina wash-shuhada'i was-salihin. من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. Of the prophets and the siddiqeen and the shuhada and the salihin. And he was agreed upon to be known as a siddiq. Right? Like even his enemies acknowledge that title. Right? That he's a siddiq. That this guy is. So if the prophet is the nabi, then he's like even his enemies say he's siddiq. Right? And he's a champion of that truth that the prophet came with. And these are reflective in meanings that are understood. Some of them, of course, are, they're dependent on external meanings. But if you accept the Quran as being a whole, then so this Fatiha, deserves reflection. And here we see some of the significance. So يقول الله تعالى قسمت الصلاة بيني وبين عبدي. I have divided the prayer between myself and my servant. نصفين, in two halves. ولعبدي ما سأل. And from my servant has whatever they asked for. ما سأل. Now here, one of the things, this hadith will tell us about Surah Al-Fatiha. It'll tell us about Surah Al-Fatiha. So one of the names of Surah Al-Fatiha, according to a lot of the ulama, based on this hadith Qudsi and other hadiths, is As-Salah. I have divided the prayer, As-Salah, between myself and my servant into two halves. And my servant shall have whatever they asked. Because what is the subject here? So some scholars said that, well, the whole prayer is divided into two halves. There is, because what is the prayer? There's a prayer is a turning to Allah and an asking of Allah. Right? So insofar as it's a turning to Allah, it's in recognition of His Lordship, His glory, His greatness. That is the role of the dhikr in the prayer. Right? And there's the role of dua in the prayer, which is to ask. Right? And the prayer is between dhikr and dua. And the states of the prayer are between dhikr and dua. The standing is a dhikr and it's a dua. And both come together, right? It's not one or the other. Because the dhikr, the dua affirms dhikr. Because when you ask, you are turning to the one asked. When you turn to the one asked, when you turn to Allah, you're affirming the asking of the state of your neediness. Right? So the turning in recognition and the asking are interrelated. One entails the other if complete. Right? So the two halves are not separated. So I might say there's two halves, but they fit together. But they don't fit together only in the sense that there's this and dot, 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 there's this. The two come together. So does it apply to the whole prayer? Some people say the Fatiha is being used here as an example. So you begin, this is how it begins. Like they say, وَقِسْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. And the rest follows in the same way. But another way of looking at it is that the Fatiha itself is the prayer. Now, how? At several levels. One, the Arabs used the concept of sometimes you can refer to a part by the whole. And sometimes you can refer to a part by the whole. Or you can refer to the whole by the part. That's from the power of the Arabic language. So, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّكِعِينَ. Bow with those who bow. But if Sister Yasmin heard that, she says, Allah only commanded us to bow with those who bow. So she just sits waiting. When the sisters get into ruku', she joins in. I bowed with those who bowed. And then she says, well, I'm tired. And she just relaxes. Is that considered praying? No. Why? The bowing there, it refers, or prostrate with those who prostrate. We weren't of those who prostrated. Okay? When the people asked the people of Jahannam, why didn't, what took you into Saqar? They say, لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We weren't of those who prayed, but what was it? Elsewhere, that we did not prostrate with those who prostrated, right? But that's mentioning the part and intending the whole. So in that sense, and sometimes a part is mentioned to highlight its significance. Okay. And what's the greatest part of the prayer? What's the greatest part of the prayer? Good. Though prostration is particularly emphatic in expression of neediness and closeness, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ إِلَى الرَّبِّ وَهُوَ سَاجِدُ, the closest the servant is to the Lord, is when they're in prostration, because that state, even to one heedless, should be expressive of your complete neediness. I know several people personally who became Muslim when they prostrated. I know some good friend of mine, white Californian surfer type, left the US military, became a photographer, took a Photoshop course, ran into some lady, seemed to be wearing a hoodie in the summer. She asked her, what's up with that? Is that a new style? She was like a jilbab wearing sister. So she pointed him. She explained a few answers, felt shy, pointed him to the masjid, went there, long story, ended up one type of masjid, walked out because it seemed strange. Allah protected him. Ran into his grandparents, his neighbor, African-American guy, was Muslim. Said, Paul, what are you doing coming out of that mosque? He said, it's really weird. He explained, went to the masjid, had no thought about Islam. But being sort of hip Californian, said, well, his grandparents' neighbor said, want to join in with us? Sure. I'll do what you guys are doing. And no thought about Islam. When he put his forehead on the ground, he realized that this has to be the truth. And next day he was Muslim. But despite the place of the prostration, for example, the greatest part of the prayer, by clear indications of the text of the Quran, and explicitly in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, it is clear, and this is the position of the vast majority of Islamic scholarship, the best part of the prayer is the recitation. By transmission, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَفْضَلُ الصَّلَاةُ طُولُ الْقُنُوتِ. The best of prayer is lengthy recitation. And many other texts. And also rationally, because if you look at what you're doing when you're standing, you're reciting Qur'an, and Qur'an is superior to dhikr. Right, etc. But it's textually. So, and my servant has whatever they asked for. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. Right? And to be people of meaning when we reflect on these things. And my servant has whatever they asked for. But you're dealing with a generous Lord. You didn't ask for anything, he'll still reward you. But it's not like the one who asked. Right? And it's not like the one who asked for Allah. And my servant, وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. My servant, and لِعَبْدِي, the lam is for istihqaq. It's for them. It's for them. Right? So it's like there, you just didn't ask for it. Right? وَمَا ظَلَمْنَا. We did not wrong them. It was there. You didn't ask for it. وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Right? And rather it was, they wronged themselves. فَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So if the servant, and here of course, it hide, you know, when a term, when someone is referred to something, one has to pay attention to what are they being referred to as. Right? So if a name is used, right? So if you know someone gave, you say, the generous man then gave a lot in charity. Why is Kareem mentioned there? Because you want to highlight that quality. You don't say, then the, you want to highlight, you mention things, if you are speaking intelligently, with a distinguishing quality. Right? You have to highlight a meaning. So, فَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدِ, if the servant says, right, because what is the basis of prayer? It is عُبُودِيَّة, it's servitude. You could say, if the one praying, right? إِذَا قَالَ الْمُصَلِّي. But the meaning being highlighted is عُبُودِيَّة, servanthood. Right? إِذَا قَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The servant says, all praises due to Allah, Lord of the worlds. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى حَمَدَنِي عَبْدِي. Allah Most High says, my servant has praised me. Which is why, this is one of the wisdoms why the Prophet ﷺ, when he recited, he would pause after every verse. Right? And they say there's several aspects. One is to reflect on what you're going to say next, but also every meaning has a response. Right? Right? So they say it's like, you know, you ask for water, you have to wait for it to be poured. Right? Say, give me some water, and then said, could you top it up with some drops of lemon? But you didn't, like, you know, you have to wait. Right? So this is part of you need the adab, right? That there's a divine response coming, but you have to give it its spiritual deed. وَإِذَا قَالَ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. And if the servant says, all merciful, most compassionate, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَثْنَى عَلَيَّ عَبْدِي. Allah Most High says, my servant has exalted me. أَثْنَى عَلَيَّ عَبْدِي. You know, my servant has exalted me. وَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And if the servant says, master of the day of resurrection, or the day of reckoning, قَالْ مَجَّدَنِي عَبْدِي. Allah Most High says, my servant has affirmed my majesty. Majd. وَإِذَا قَالَ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And if the servant says, you alone do we serve, and you alone do we seek assistance of. قَالَ هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي. Allah Most High says, this is between me and my servant. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. And my servant shall have whatever they asked for. Right, this is why the ulama differed. What is the greatest part of the Fatiha? What's the greatest part of the Fatiha? And some argued that it is إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. The great Wali and Imam, and he's Hanbali, very interesting. Hanbali from Herat. There used to be Hanbalis in Afghanistan. Khwaja Abdullah Ansari, in his work, Manazilu Sa'irin, right? The stations of those traveling to closeness to Allah, is a great imam of hadith and a great imam of fiqh and a great imam of spirituality. Interesting, a work commented upon by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, amongst many others. It's Manazil al-Sa'irin, and he says, between the two stations of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Because all of all of life is between these two meanings. Okay? And between these two meanings is being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You alone we serve, you alone we rely upon. This is between me, هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي. And what is between you and between your Lord? That's closeness. Okay? Right? So many have said this is the greatest part of Surah Al-Fatiha. Others have said it's اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the straight path. But what does the straight path lead you to? To the realization of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. That's between you and Allah. هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي. Right? So if one is seeking to attain closeness, right, the closeness talked about in the hadith Qudsi of, you know, of taqarrub. إِذَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيْ عَبْدِي. How do you draw close? By the realization of these two meanings. تَحْقِيقُ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ. Realization of slavehood and realization of reliance upon Allah. Right? And all the spiritual path is between these two meanings. Right? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. This is between me and my servant. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. And my servant shall have whatever they asked for. And again, what are you asking for? Right? And the people of intelligence ask Allah for Allah. فَإِذَا قَالَ اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ قَالَ هَذَا لِعَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. رواه الإمام أحمد ومسلم وأبو داود والترمذي والنسائي وابن ماجة وابن حبان. And when the servant says, guide us to the straight path, the path of those you blessed before us, not those under your wrath, nor those astray, Allah Most High says, this is for my servant, and my servant shall have what they asked for. So one of the many adab of Surah Al-Fatiha that's understood from this is that at every stage, know what you're asking for. Don't just say it, but ask. Ask. And this is related by, and he goes into detail. Why? Because it's so well related. It's related by Ahmad, by Imam Muslim, so it's a religiously authentic hadith. But it's in all these other major collections to Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi and Nasa'i and Ibn Majah and Ibn Hibban. So that's what we wanted to look at today. So we should always strive to renew our recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha, to refresh it, to reinvigorate it, to reflect on it, and to always, also with our own personal reflection, to always go back and strive to reacquaint ourselves with its meanings, right? Because meanings can become occluded. Right? Can become occluded by lack of, you know, and they're refreshed. فَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Right? Remind. So for reminders, benefit believers, and we remind others, but we also remind ourselves by reviewing the tafsir, by rereading the tafsir of these verses. Any questions here? Go ahead. Baini wa baina. This is between my servant and I. And my servant shall have whatever they ask for, right? That it is, and there's many possibilities, and the ulama mentioned a number of meanings. Ultimately, what is between you and what is between the Lord and the servant, that is the relationship between the Lord and the servant. And that servant shall have whatever they asked for. So when one says it, this is the relationship. And what is a servant seeking? Closeness to Allah. The love of Allah, the good pleasure of Allah, right? So they're seeking Allah. Yeah, that's ikhlas. لا تقصد إلا الله في سرك والإعلان. As one of the great poets said, do not seek other than Allah privately and publicly. وتيقن أن الله حاضر في كل مكان. And be certain that Allah is present with you wherever you may be. Right? Because present, not physically, because that's madness. Right? So that's about the closeness. So what's the essence of the Fatiha? It's about that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yeah, and the servants shall have whatever they asked for. So we should renew our asking. Now the second part, we look briefly at the ta'lim al-mut'allim. So we're in the first chapter still, looking at the various knowledges that are obligatory in general, that you're responsible for essential knowledge, and the essential knowledge related to your worship. He talked about related to any other matter in life that you engage in, so he explained that. Knowledge related to transactions, right? At the heart of transactions being the sales and the contract, and why? That is the basis of zuhud, of renunciation, and the basis of spirituality, practically. And then he says, وَكَذَلِكَ يُفْتَرَضُ عَلَيْهِ عِلْمُ أَحْوَالِ الْقَلْبِ. Likewise, it is obligatory upon them to have knowledge of the states of the heart. مِنَ التَّوَكُّلِ وَالْإِنَابَةِ وَالْخَشْيَةِ وَالْرِضَى فَإِنَّهُ وَاقِعٌ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأَحْوَالِ. Likewise, it is obligatory upon the one morally responsible to gain knowledge of the states of the heart. From reliance upon Allah, and from penitence, and khashiyah, and having reverent awe, and rida, and contentment. For these affect one in all states. Now technically, the knowledge of them is not required in itself. These states, they're states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, and they're obligatory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَخَافُونِي إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Be in fearful awe of me if you believe. And Allah commands to have tawakkul. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. Rely upon the living who is undying. And that's a command, just as وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ. Just like establish the prayer. Right? At the level of the command and at the level of encouragement. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah is with the mindful. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ. All these qualities are mentioned. But Allah commands repeatedly to qualities just as He commands to actions. يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ أَمْنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. How many times does that come? Oh, you who believe, have taqwa of Allah. اتَّقُوا is فِعْلْ أَمْر. Is a command. And the command indicates obligation. And the most oft repeated commands are not simply related to actions. They're related to states. So the state is obligatory, that one must have certain qualities at a basic level. There's a base level of qualities of the heart that are obligatory. And there is a perfection of those qualities that is recommended, and that's from becoming of the sabiqoon. Right, of the foremost, to the extent that one acquires them. Knowledge of them is not sought in itself. Right? Someone, they could have awe of Allah without knowing anything about awe of Allah. Someone could have all these qualities without knowing even their names. Right? But the knowledge of it is a means, is the normal means to acquire the required state, right? Is a normal means. How can you seek something if you don't know what it is? What are you working on right now? The state of my heart. So what are you working on? I don't know. How are you going to acquire it? No clue. How will you know if you acquired it? There'll be signs. What are they? I don't know. It's possible that you could attain it, but it's not like the possibility of someone who knows what they're seeking, and they know how to seek it, and the means of, the means of seeking it, the signs of attaining it, the obstacles in its attainment, the challenges that one faces, how to deal with those challenges, etc. Right? So there's a ilmi aspect. And each of these qualities, the ulama generally talk about, the ilmi aspect, knowing about the virtue and its acquisition, and the impediments to the virtue. And there's the amali aspect, the practical aspect of acquiring it. And ideally, both are required. And there's different methods of their acquisition. Right? And it's a lifetime struggle, right? Someone asked Sheikh Abdurrahman Shawi once, say, are you now a perfected Sheikh? Are you a Sheikh Kamil? He said, أَنَا النَّاقِثُ الْكَامِلِ. I am the perfectly imperfect. Right? And that has many possible meanings, but that's the realization that, you know, that it, you know, the, you know, the, you know, one, الكمال المطلق is لله سبحانه وتعالى, right? And you know, and human perfection is the Prophet, right? Even the Prophet, as Imam, it's quite shockingly phrased, but if you read the opening of the Hamziyah, and I'd recommend you to read it, he begins, يعني, كيف ترقى رقيك الأنبياء? How can even prophets rise to your high station? يا سماء ما طاولتها سماء. O sky that no sky can encompass. Right. صلى الله عليه وسلم. Right. That is the goal. So everyone and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifests to us our shortcomings. And tawfiq is to realize that and to rectify. And then the states of the heart are those states that relate to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's the states that relate to our relating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. And both, and sometimes they consider them together, and sometimes they consider them separately. And this, and the ulama say that after gaining knowledge of what one must believe about Allah and one's worship, right, and what one is engaged in on a day-to-day level in one's life, at a basic level, so that one is not in a state of sin in one's day-to-day, then of the most urgent obligations is to acquire knowledge of the states of the heart. But of course, the knowledge of the states of the heart is not just to learn about it, but is to strive to acquire them. Right? But that is an ongoing commitment. Right? That's an ongoing commitment. So this is part of the obligation as well. Right? This knowledge of the states of the heart. And the science related to that is the science of, and it has different names. The science related to what the Prophet ﷺ referred to as Ihsan in the Hadith Jibreel. Right? The early Muslims often refer to it as Zuhud, renunciation. Because to renounce worldliness and all qualities of the worldly, and all to renounce all that distances one from Allah, and embrace all that turns one towards Allah. Others referred to it as, with a whole number of names, the title for the science as an Islamic science became tasawwuf, right? And there's abuses of that, just as there's abuses of theology, of aqidah and fiqh. There are those who are mainstream and sound in that, and there are those who are not. and then he explains the virtue of knowledge, and we'll just read that very briefly because discursive doesn't require a lot of explanation. He says, وَشَرَفُ الْعِلْمِ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَى أَحَدٍ. And the virtue of knowledge is not hidden to anyone. وَشَرَفُ الْعِلْمِ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَى. Anyone will be aware of it. Of knowledge, meaning knowledge itself. إِذْ هُوَ الْمُخْتَصُّ بِالْإِنسَانِيَّةِ. Because it is what is unique to humanity. لَنَّ جَمِيعَ الْخِصَالِ سِوَى الْعِلْمِ يَشْتَرِكُ فِيهَا الْإِنسَانُ وَسَائِرُ الْحَيَوَانَاتِ. Because all other qualities besides knowledge are shared between humans and other animals. And by knowledge, we mean here acquired knowledge that is pleasing to Allah. We're not denying that animals have cognition, right? But here is knowledge of how to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the knowledge that enables one, knowledge that enable gives one the capacity to make choices, right? The knowledge related to the amana that Allah has placed within us, right? Which is choice, right? Because other qualities are shared between humans and animals, كَالشَّجَاعَةِ, such as bravery, وَالْجُرْءَ, and such as and you know, bravery, right? Courage and bravery, وَالْقُوَّ, and strength, وَالْجُودَ, and generosity, وَالشَّفَقَ, and caring concern, وَغَيْرِهَا, and other qualities. سِوَى الْعِلْمِ, other than knowledge. وَبِهِ أَظْهَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَضْلَ آدَمَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, and through knowledge, Allah manifested the virtue of Adam, of the Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَ, upon the angels. وَأَمَرَهُمْ بِالسُّجُودِ لَهُ, and Allah commanded them to prostrate to Adam, right? As has come in Surah Al-Baqarah in verse 31, for example, right? وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا, Allah taught Adam all the names. And then when the angels asked, why have you, you know, why have you created one who will disobey you and spill blood, etc., Allah taught Adam the names of all things and then presented those things to the angels and said, أَنْبِئُونِ بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاء, tell me of the names of these things, إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you are true. So what was the virtue of Adam that Allah manifest? عَلَّمَ آدَم, Allah taught Adam, right? What is the quality by which Allah has granted Bani Adam their karama? لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَم, we have honored the children of Adam. It begins with knowledge. So the one bereft of knowledge is bereft of the actualization of the potential within them. And the angels were commanded to prostrate themselves to Adam because of that. وَإِنَّمَا شَرَفُ الْعِلْمِ لِكَوْنِهِ وَسِيلَةً إِلَى التَّقْوَى, and the only virtue of knowledge is because it is the means to taqwa. To taqwa, to mindfulness of Allah, to God consciousness, to piety. التي يستحق بها المرء الكرامة عند الله تعالى, through which quality, through taqwa, a person becomes deserving of honor, karama, of honoring in the sight of Allah Most High. إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم, the most honored of you in the sight of Allah are those of greatest taqwa. والسعادة الأبدية, and eternal felicity. Because if you see all the things that the people of taqwa are promised in the Qur'an, there's no quality for which people are promised more than they are promised for taqwa. Right? And all of guidance is contingent upon taqwa. It's hudan lil-muttaqeen. It is guidance for those of taqwa. حَقَّقَنَا اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِذَلِكَ وَغَفَرَ لَنَا. And then he continues by his first round of poetry, by quoting something that was said to Muhammad ibn al-Hasan in encouraging him to learn, and we'll look at that. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Thank you for listening to the Rawha, daily guidance for seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help us continue to give light to millions around the world by becoming a monthly donor at seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the US.